Hi Krishna. Friday morning. It's a beautiful day here in Budapest. Last night, yesterday afternoon actually, I left to find an optometrist and get an eye check and order new glasses. Ever since I started wearing glasses, Hari Vamsa Prabhu in the UK was our optometrist, but now it's no longer so practical, not going so much there. So I've had to find one here. From there, I also went to get a picture for my new Canadian passport. Its feature being that just like my Hungarian passport, it has a change of name. My civil name has been more or less wiped off the records. Officially I'm Shivaram Swami in Hungary. I've been traveling like that for the last year on my passport, and it'll be the same for my Canadian passport as well. I remember Tamal Krishna Maharaj had done that back in the early 80s. Then when he was traveling to China, he had to change it because obviously a devotional name would give him away. And, of course, Srila Prabhupada's name was also A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And that's our real identity. Our identity is as Krishna Das, and these other names that we receive are meaningless. They don't mean anything other than to identify us as being residents of this material world with a certainly bodily identification to our bodily family and relatives, and so on. And then after that, after those two trips, we had a very nice program in the evening. These are programs that we hold with a very limited number of guests. They're not in the temple, they're not in someone's home, but rather we rent an appropriate hall. And we have about, say, four devotees who each invite about four or five guests. Well, they invite more, but that's how many end up coming. And these are more or less upper class, well-to-do guests who are potential supporters of the society. And we bring them, most of them have never been to a temple before, a devotional function, but they're acquaintances. And devotees invite them, and we greet them. We have a little stand-up discussion by that, just greeting and getting to know people individually. And then we prepare a very beautiful dinner. First thing we do is have nice prasadam. And following the prasadam, then we had the boatman and the scholar. Yesterday, Dineshwari and Harimala played the boatman and the scholar, and that was the second time we did that, and this is the fourth time we've done this type of dinners, and that went over well, and I give a little talk. Everyone comes away from the dinner table, which is more like a banquet table with wonderful prasadam that Govinda's restaurant brings over, and we sit down. In this case, we sort of sat in a circle on chairs, and I gave a little talk on the immortality of the soul, and that's our eternal identity as opposed to the body. And I have questions and answers, which really goes on. People become very loosened up, especially during prasadam, when they're able to talk with their acquaintances, devotee acquaintances, and the prasadam has its work. So by the time lectures, they're much more relaxed. And then we end up with a little kirtan, and it was difficult. We started at 6:30. It was difficult to get them to leave by 10 o'clock, and we were supposed to be out of the rented dining hall by 9. And that was very nice. And then the idea is that out of these people, we see who are really potential devotees, devotees who will ultimately end up chanting Hare Krishna. And then by their making a commitment to the holy name and Krishna, of course, they'll be able to also make a commitment to help support ISKCON. And that went very well. Although when I was going into town yesterday, I received a telephone call that Bhakti Nagi, one of our Sankirtan ladies here from Budapest, she got hit by a car as she was crossing the road at the zebra crossing, and she's all right, although she was pretty badly banged up, but her right elbow was broken, and she had to sit there for 10 hours in the hospital until at midnight at night they operated on her elbow. Anyway, she's all right, but she's in some pain, and she'll be there until Sunday, and then she'll be back and in a cast for the next couple of months. Anyway, these were yesterday's adventures. Srimati wrote from down under, asked that we talk about Grihastha Ashram, and that could take up a lot of podcasts, and I'm sure many of the Grihasthas out there can give a lot of testimonies and explanations on this subject. And obviously my perspective is from my pre-devotional time, the experience that I had being married for 6 years to a devotee. My wife was a devotee. And then all of the experiences that I've had by counseling others, helping live through others' joys and sorrows of Grihastha life, seeing children come into this world and then where they head off to in Krishna consciousness or out of it, as well as, and that's in Hungary and England, obviously, as well as the things that I see, observe internationally, what to speak of course, the foundation and the guidelines for Grihastha Ashram that are in Srila Prabhupada's books. So there's a lot to be said. I'll say a little something, and maybe it's even a subject that can be continued at a later date. Anyway, Srimati makes this point, is that, boy, is Grihastha life ever tough? And it is. Not particularly because it happens to be the Grihastha Ashram, because the word ashram means a place to practice Krishna consciousness, spiritual life. And Narottam Das Thakur says, Grihi Bhavaneti Taki, Ha Gauranga Bolitaki, devotees who are really dedicated to spreading Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, whether they're sannyasis or brahmacharis or grihasthas, they're all great souls. But one very difficult aspect of Grihastha Ashram is this concept of living together so closely. No one lives together as closely as husband and wife do, and not just for a year or 2 years, but more or less for a major portion of their lives. And in Kali Yuga, when quarrel and disagreement is the rule of the land, unfortunately, then it becomes very natural that living at such close quarters, personal differences come up, they become objects of disagreement in how to conduct work, how to manage the household, what to do and how to raise children, how to practice Krishna consciousness. Practically speaking, anything can become a source of disagreement. And of course, the mode of passion dictates that if something's troublesome, such as disagreements are troublesome, then the way to solve it is by divorce or separation. And of course, mode of goodness says just the opposite. It says, even if something's troublesome, out of duty, one should continue. Srimati also brought up this point as well. Are you supposed to be living together for your life solely out of duty? Isn't there anything more than that? And duty is the basis of everything. It's the basis of love. It's the basis of right conduct. It's the basis of dharma. We should know what our prescribed duties are. And of course, it's very clear to all of us that Srila Prabhupada didn't want devotees to separate. Not that Srimati was thinking about separating from her husband, but I'm just bringing that up as separation. Quitting is not an alternative. Duty is something that keeps us together through all kinds of ups and downs, and the natural oscillation that takes place in any type of relationship. And the attachment should be there, but also it shouldn't be there. In fact, just today we're reading, just at the conclusion of the third canto, Srila Prabhupada was talking about Devahuti and Kardama Muni, and he was saying how they had an ideal household arrangement, is that Kardama Muni provided everything that his wife needed, but he remained detached. So there should be affection, because there should be natural affection for those with whom you live, but underneath it all, there needs to be a certain level of detachment between husband and wife, between parents and children. And, well, how can you be detached and attached at the same time? Because if transcendental knowledge is there, transcendental knowledge naturally gives rise to a certain level of detachment. So when we see each other as devotees, when we see that we are brought together temporarily in order to serve a greater mission in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's family, of which our family is just one little integral part, when we recognize the temporary nature of this body upon which these relationships are based, then it allows us to keep a sense of detachment, while at the same time there's enough, due to natural interaction, and particularly the type of interaction that flows between parents and children, there's a natural affection is also there. And we see this with Srila Prabhupada, how he was so affectionate, and at the same time he was able to maintain a certain level of detachment. We see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was so loving to his devotees, and was purchased by his devotees, but then sometimes, as for instance in the example of departing from Puri, Gadadhar Pandit was following him, and at a certain point Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just got in a boat, turned his back on everyone and left. And although they then collapsed to the ground in the pain of separation, still Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on one side attachment is there, on the other side detachment. Devotees may say this is sort of a schizophrenic state. It is. It's not the only type of schizophrenia that goes on in Krishna consciousness. For instance, advanced devotees are meant to internalize their own spiritual advancement and display their external feature as madhyamadikaris or as intermediate devotees. Srila Prabhupada even uses the word neophytes. And similarly, we have to learn how to balance this type of life in the Grihastha ashram, which needs to be focused around and centered around Krishna. And centered around Krishna can be done in one of two ways. One is, for instance, that Krishna, in the form of his deity, becomes the center of the home. That should be there in any case. But added to that should be Krishna's mission of spreading Krishna consciousness. And that becomes a much more dynamic way of ensuring that the family Krishna consciousness is progressive and is able to maintain this type of balance, because giving Krishna consciousness to others, to conditioned souls, chanting Hare Krishna, it gives a certain inspiration and connection with Lord Chaitanya, as well as the Krishna consciousness movement, that Grihasthas are obliged or forced to see something more than just their home, more than just their individual needs. And if someone solely sees that, even with their deity, the tendency for that type of sort of very localized, focused mentality is that it becomes narrower and narrower and narrower. The vision becomes, instead of being broad, it becomes very narrow. And first it's just me and my family, and then when it becomes me and my family and leaves others out, then the benefit of others' interaction also is bereft in that type of family relationship. And the tendency for friction then increases. It increases because the consciousness becomes more egoistic, it becomes more self-centered. Whereas when families preach, Grihasthas preach, then they naturally, their consciousness broadens and they're not so self-centered. They become centered around preaching. They become centered around the welfare of others, of giving to others. And very important, If devotees are able to constantly preach and spread Krishna consciousness, even in the Grihastha ashram, that will certainly help them maintain this type of balance, the type of balance that Srila Prabhupada wanted, because more or less, particularly of his initiated devotees, those devotees who engaged in full-time service, lived in temples, Srila Prabhupada treated them in the same way. Then ladies, grihastas, sannyasis, brahmacharis, and he also expected them to contribute to his mission in the same way. Anyway, those are some thoughts for you on that grihastha ashram, and from my experience, I know that there's a lot more that could be said. Let me conclude with a little more readings from Sri Rajariti Chintamani by Raghunath Das Goswami, and we're going to continue here in Kamyavan Forest, which is at present a very arid place, rocky place in Vrindavan. It's approaching the Rajasthan desert, but there are many, many wonderful places of Krishna's pastimes over there. Raghunath Das Goswami says, to the south and west of Nandishwar Hill are Kamyavan Forest and many other beautiful places, such as Pramataradha Tirtha, where the divine couple enjoy many confidential pastimes. When the fragrance of the divine couple's pastimes of sweetness enter this place, the powerful goddess of the pastimes of supreme opulence hides. At the place known as Lankakund, Lord Mukunda delighted Sri Radhika by narrating Lord Ramachandra's pastimes of bridging the great ocean and traveling to Lanka. As Sri Radhamadava conversed during the wonderful Lukayan pastime in Kamyavan, they manifest a great transcendental sweetness that astonishes the gopi friends. Because of the many charming kamya, forest groves, and lakes where Lord Krishna relishes the sweetness of his pastimes, this place is known as Kamyavan. By a lake there at the place the people call Shantanuvas is a sun god deity Sri Radha worships. On the pretext of seeing him, she gives that deity a chance to see her. On a mountain there named Chadishila, roof of rocks, Krishna enjoyed many wonderful pastimes. There Krishna wept tears of joy. There Krishna played guessing games and spoke many playful words. Nanda Maharaj made his new home there. Disguised as a small lake, the ocean of jewels stood at his doorstep. Nearby were Lalita Kund and other charming lakes where the Lord enjoyed pastimes. There the gopis drank the nectar of the divine couple's playful conversation and saw the divine couple maddened by their mutual touch. The gopis came from all directions, Bichedaga, to see the divine couple, and therefore this place became known as Vichedata Tirtha. There Lakshmi Devi performed severe austerities to become a gopi. Although she remained Lakshmi and did not attain her goal, she nevertheless had the opportunity to speak with her beloved Krishna. There Lord Krishna manifested the milk ocean, expanded himself as an Antashesh, transformed himself into Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, and then sat down on the body of Ananta. Sri Radha then became the beautiful Lakshmi Devi, who, with humbly bowed head, began to massage Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. This sight greatly delighted Radha's unlooking gopin friends. In the 12 forests of Braj are many pastime groves where Lord Krishna, the moon of Vrindavan, enjoys with his beloveds, and where the opulence is so great it makes tears flow down Goddess Lakshmi's chest. The Vedas explain that there are 24 important gardens in Lord Hari's Braj. Amongst them is Kokila Kanana, which is filled with the singing of cuckoos. The peerless and supremely sweet land of Vrindavan is the blissful abode where the Supreme Personality of God enjoys pastimes. It is the incarnation of the Lord's form and is non-different from Him. I have briefly described this land of Vrindavan in this book, Sri Rajariti Chintamani, which is completed in this, the last verse of the third chapter. I remember being at that Lankakund, which where Chaitanya Lord Krishna revealed his Ramchandra pastimes to Srimati Radhika. Didn't reveal him in that he took the form of Lord Ram, but as Krishna, it was this large, large lake, and he played his flute and called upon monkeys. The monkeys brought rocks, and by the flute playing, those rocks floated, And then Krishna walked across the lake and explained to Srimati Radharani that the monkeys were the same monkeys who were present in Lord Ramachandra's Leela. But the gopis laughed at Krishna and told him that they were aware of his magical abilities, especially the magical potency of his flute, and so they couldn't take him seriously, that he was the same dharmic, very grave Lord Ramachandra who millions of years ago killed Ravana, considering how sportive he was, how pliably he applies the rules of Dharma, and how frivolous as a cowherd boy Krishna is, wrestling with his friends, dancing, stealing butter, things that Lord Ramachandra would never even think of doing. If devotees have the opportunity, they should go there and see this wonderful place. Okay, time for me to have a meeting with the temple president now. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.